We all said together, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Did you borrow enough pots? Did you borrow enough jars? If I can draw your attention to verse number 3, where it says, Elisha said, I want you to go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars, empty pots. Don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. Don't borrow a few. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side. You know, one of the reasons why I love to have first-time visitors stand up, it's great to see who's visiting. It's great to see that you're inviting people to church. But also I do it because I was raised understanding that there's a difference between company and family. I don't know if you had a mom like that. I don't know if you had family like that where my mom would clean up for company. There was a way that you did stuff for family. There's a way that you are with family that's very then different than the way you are with company. With company, you got to make sure stuff is together. With family, it don't really. With company, you're very careful. With family, you will be difficult for family. You will leave your children with family because you're not afraid to inconvenience family. It's very interesting, this particular passage, especially for us to say, all right, it's family reunion. And I know that there are many of you who have been invited. There's a lot of visitors with us, and praise God for that. But I want you to know that this passage is a family passage. This passage is a passage for us to be able to come together as family. Because with family, you can be honest. With company, you got to fake. And with company, you got to act like everything's okay. But when family gets together, you can say, I wish things were better, but they're not the best they can be. In this story, and it's so easy just to relate, especially here this fifth Sunday, family reunion. It's such a great passage because there's so much truth that we can glean from the passage. And before I give you a faith lesson, and I'm going to challenge your faith today, but before I do that, I just want to sit down for a minute in the text and just glean some truth from the text that it takes family for you to see that. And let me explain to you what I mean. That there's truth from the story that I want us to get. Before I give you a faith lesson, there's just truth from the story. The first truth from the story, and it takes family to see it, is that you can fear God and still have debt. This woman comes and says, listen, my husband is dead. Now, he was a member of the company of the prophets, and you know he revered the Lord, meaning Elisha. You know he was in church. You know he did the right stuff. You know that he was seeking a prophetic word. He understood that his knowledge was limited, and he needed a word from the Lord. He was a part of the company of people that were looking into the thing that their natural eye could not see. He was a part of the church. He was faithful. He was a member. You know it. You saw him, Elisha. You know that he was faithful and he feared God. He revered God, but now he's dead. And his creditor is coming to take my sons away as slaves. I think we ought to be able to relate to that because so many of us were raised by people who feared God, but we still were born into debt. There's so many of us in this room, as much as we love the Lord, as much as we worship God, as much as we say hallelujah, there's still something missing. There's still a debt that we owe. We all can relate to this because just about everybody in here got a creditor. Oh, I thought I'd get an honest amen on that. Just about everybody in here got a creditor. You call that your car, but you don't really own that car. You let you not make that payment and they will come and take that. You say that's your house, but really that's Wells Fargo's house. Whose house that is? That even though I love God and even though I worship the Lord and even though I revere the Lord, it's still possible for stuff in the earth to not be exactly lined up financially. I'm worshiping God, but I need a financial miracle. I speak that. I'm worshiping the Lord, but I need a miracle of provision. I'm worshiping God. Now, I'm here, and I got my clothes on, and I came to church, and I hollered when Pastor Brian got up here. But if I was honest, I would tell you that actually I got a creditor that's threatening me. He's just honest. I love the honesty of the scriptures. I love the honesty of the passage. I love how the Bible gets honest. I love how she says, yeah, my husband was faithful. You know us. You know me. And we've got a debt that needs to be paid before I lose my children. I'm trying to affect something. I'm trying to do something so that the next generation won't be broke forever and behind forever. My God, I'm trying to make something so that maybe even if it's not for me, I'm believing that my sons will be able to walk in a freedom that I'm not walking in. And I'm saying hallelujah, but I need a miracle in my finances. I just need somebody in the second service to be like, oh, Pastor Andy, this is talking to me. It's easy to relate to the story. The second truth that I want you to see, and I'm throwing it all on the screens, and this ain't even the point of the sermon. It's just the appetizer. I'm just throwing this out for free. Second point that I want you to understand true from the story is you need a prophet. You need a prophet. Even with all your faith, sometimes you need somebody that just believes God at a whole nother. Hey, even though you can walk by faith and read the Bible and study it and pray, even though what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven and what you loose on earth will be loose in heaven, every now and then you need to get around somebody that knows God you need to get around somebody that knows how to get a prayer. You need to get around somebody that for whatever reason, they just have access to a level of power that you don't necessarily. Every now and then you got to get around somebody that'll say, baby, it looks bad today, but I believe that God can turn that thing around. You need a prophet. Every now and then you need a prophet. Every now and then you got to get up, you got to leave your house and stop looking through your phone, and you got to go down and find a man of God, find a woman of God, find somebody and lay your situation out to them, because every now and then you need a prophet. It's just the truth from the story. She comes to Elisha. She says, listen, my husband was a prophet, a part of the company of the prophets. I've been raising this thing, but I need a prophet. I need Elisha. I need somebody with some anointing on them. I need somebody with some favor on them. Third thing is prophets tell you crazy things. Prophets may say something that doesn't necessarily make sense. Elisha says, how can I help you? I don't even think he was asking her. I think he was asking himself. He said, how can I help you, man? How can I help you? Let me see. What can I do? Well, what do you have? What do you have in your house? What do you got? And she said, I told you, I have nothing left. Oh, that's right. I mean, I got a small little jar of olive oil. And Elisha said, oh, girl, I thought you said you didn't have nothing. You got a little bit of olive oil. If you got a little bit of something is better than a whole lot of, my God, a little bit of something is all I need. You should have said you had a little jar of olive oil, because little can become much if God can be in it. Now, are you ready? Because I'm going to tell you something a little bit crazy, because prophets will tell you a little something crazy. But if you're not able to walk in the crazy, there is a level of blessing and miracle and provision that you will never see. It's the fourth truth from the story, and that is you're going to need crazy faith. You're going to need crazy faith. You're going to get around somebody that believes God at a level that you don't believe. And if you cannot shut your brain down for a second and stop trying to figure it out and stop trying to make it make sense, if you're not able to say, hey, you know what? I don't know how this is going to happen, but I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. If you don't have some crazy faith, you won't be prepared for what the crazy prophet tells you. Prophets tell you crazy things, and it's going to take crazy faith. He said, listen, sweetheart, I know this is going to sound crazy, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and borrow pots. not a few. I want you to go around to your neighbors. I don't want your need for your miracle to be something that only you know about. I want you to take a risk. I want you to dare to tell everybody else, hey, I've got a need and I need to borrow a pot from you. And for people to say, what you need these pots for? And for you to say, can I tell you the truth? I really don't know, but I got a word from the Lord and I'm going to step out on that word and I'm going to borrow pots, not of you. He said, borrow pots, don't ask for a few. Borrow jars, don't ask for. I keep saying pots because King James Version, I'm old. Borrow jars, borrow pots, don't ask for a few. Start pouring oil. Sounds crazy. Going to take crazy faith. Anybody determined to have crazy faith? I speak it right now over this room in the name of Jesus. Why else be here? Why else come to church? Why else come and sit in this seat? Can I tell you, we've been praying that the minute your hips hit this seat, that something will come on you that will take your life to another level. Why not? Why not believe? Why not believe? Borrow pots, don't ask for a few. And my question of the passage is, did she borrow enough pots? Did she borrow as many pots as she could? When I get to heaven, this is going to be the question I'm going to ask her. She's going to have a line. I think a whole bunch of people going to have a line. I think Peter going to have a line. I think the woman with the issue of blood going to have a line. I think Bartimaeus going to have a line. I'm going to stand in line. And when I get there, I'm going to say, sweetheart, did you borrow as many pots as you could? Because when you look at the passage, it doesn't say that she went and actually borrowed pots. It says she just went in her room and shut the door and started pouring oil. For all I want to believe that she borrowed pots, but I wonder if she's looking down on us right now from glory. And if she's hollering at us, borrow more pots. I wonder if she's saying to us right now that the limit on your miracle is not the anointing. The limit on your miracle is how many pots you'll borrow. The limit on your miracle is not the anointing will never run out. That's the question, is not whether or not the anointing is enough. The question is your faith big enough? Is your measure big enough? Do you believe God enough? Are you at a point where you're thinking, listen, I'm not going to borrow just a few pots. I'm going to borrow as many pots. I wonder if she borrowed as many pots as she could. I wonder if she felt a little some kind of way about it. And somebody said, what you need all these pots for? And then she said, well, just give me two. I wonder when she started pouring oil, she thought to herself, oh my God, there's a miracle happening. Oh my God, I'm pouring oil. Oh my God, I thought this was just a little bit of oil, but I didn't realize that a little bit of oil was a whole lot of oil. When a miracle is taking place, am I talking to anybody in here that needs, I didn't realize that there was something that was going to happen. Oh my God, if I had known that the oil was going to flow like this, I'd have borrowed a whole lot more pots than this. If I had known that it was going to be miracle power like this, I'd have jars all over this stage. I was a little scared to ask because it sounded that crazy. It's my question. It's the way I want to challenge you. It's how I've been challenging all of you for the last several weeks. And that is, what is your measure? Take the limits off of God. It's the question that I'm asking, and I'm posing it to you. And that question is, what do you expect? What do you expect? Ask somebody, what do you expect? That was weak. Say, hey, other neighbor, what do you expect? It's a good question. What do you expect? I know that life can beat you down and get you to a place where you don't expect anything, but I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I refuse to settle. Oh, I speak it. I refuse to settle. Oh, I speak it. I refuse to settle. What do you expect? When I ask the question, what do you expect? That's why I threw it on the screens. When I ask the question, what do you expect? There's two ways to take that. There's two ways that you can look at the question, what do you expect? I don't know if anyone's ever asked you that question. Well, what did you expect? Well, what did you expect? Every now and then somebody will ask me that question. Well, what did you expect? There's two ways to take it. The first way to take, well, what did you expect is, did you expect more? Well, did you expect more? What did you expect? Did you expect more? Did you expect more? What did you expect? I know the first time I went to Ruth Chris, and I don't know if you've ever been to Ruth Chris. Pretty good steak. I don't know if you've ever been there. Can I tell you the truth? I've had a real good steak at Texas Roadhouse. Whew. I've had a real good $27 steak, and maybe it's the steak, or maybe it's the bread. When you walk in the room, and they take that tray of bread, and they lead you. It's like church usher. They leading you to the table, and I'm thinking, woo! The anointing of the bread. Maybe it's the bread, but I'm telling you, I done ordered a bone-in ribeye from Texas Roadhouse for $26. Pretty good steak. I know nobody want to say nothing to me, but pretty good steak. And then somebody said, yeah. So when I went to Ruth Chris and they told me that the steak was $90, I expected that steak to kiss me on my lips. I don't know what you thought. I expected when I ate it, and I said, eh. And they said, well, what did you expect? I said, for $90, I expected my dungeons to shake. I expected my chains to fall off. I expected the Holy Ghost to come down like a dove and say, this is my steak in whom I am well pleased for $90. I expected to bite it and be like, ooh, ooh. I expected to feel something altogether different. And I'm sorry, no knock against Ruth Chris, but I had a pretty good steak at Texas Roadhouse. Well, what did you expect? Did you expect more? Another way to take it is, well, what did you expect? Did you expect less? Did you expect less? Sometimes when I start praising God for what he's done, I almost have to be careful because I don't want him to show up and say, well, what did you expect? I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last, the one who was and is to come. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, what did you think I was going to do? I told you I can make a way where there is no way. Well, what did you expect? I told you that I've got power. I told you that nothing can stop me. What did you expect? Did you expect less from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What did you expect? I understand that unmet expectations can cause us to be afraid to expect anything. But I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that. I know Langston Hughes asked the question, what happens to a dream deferred? Does it just sag like a heavy load, or does it explode? I hear you, Langston, but I got another question. What happens to a dream that's met? What happens when the thing you've been believing God for actually comes to pass? I wish I had a witness. What happens when you hold on and you don't give up no matter what it looks like? What happens when it don't look like it's going to take place and people are saying, you need to go ahead and give up, and God steps in at the right moment? What happens when your dream is fulfilled? What happens when God makes a way? Don't you give up on your hope. Tell somebody, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. God is able. Don't give up on your dream. I need a witness. God is able. Don't give up on what God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Well, what did you expect? I refuse to let life rob me of my expectations. The devil is a liar. I refuse to allow being a black man to rob me of my expectations. You have to refuse to let being a black woman rob you of your expectations. You got to refuse to let being a Hispanic man or an Asian person or a woman or a white dude to rob you of your expectations. You got to say, it don't matter what it look like, God is able. It don't matter what it looks like, I came to church. It don't matter what it look like, I went to church on Sunday. And I am looking for a miracle. What do I expect? I expect a miracle. Every day, God will make a way. out of no way. I expect a miracle every day. God will make a way out of no way. I wish I had an old church somebody. I expect a miracle every day. God can make a way out of no way. Just believe it, receive it. God will perform it today. I expect a miracle every day. I don't just expect a miracle on Sunday, boy. I expect a miracle on Tuesday. I don't just expect a miracle in church. I expect a miracle on Thursday. Walking through my office, I'm looking for a miracle. Do I have a witness in here this morning? I'm looking for a miracle. I'm looking for something I can't explain. I'm looking to start pouring oil and be like, oh my God, there's all of my shoes. And oh my God, there's all of my clothes. And my son said, Dad, what's going on? And I'm saying, son, I got so much oil flowing. Call my neighbors in. I want to share the oil. I'm looking for a miracle. Anybody looking for a miracle? I'm looking for a miracle. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. I'm gonna read that again. Y'all got it on the screens? Put it up there. I want you to read it. Let me calm down, because I want this to get in your spirit this morning. I'm excited about it, because I believe I'm about to turn a corner. I don't know about you, but I'm about to turn a corner. Oh, hallelujah. I believe I'm about to turn a corner. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're believing God for. See, this is where I go to church. So every now and then I got to talk. I got to preach to myself. I'm about to turn a corner. Check on me in another couple of weeks and see what God has done in my life. I prophesied over my own self, and I prophesied over everybody that will receive it in the name of Jesus. Something about to happen. Something about to take place. Something's about to pop off. Something's about to change. Something's about to make sense. Something is about to happen. I speak it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devil in here. He says, I eagerly, sit down. So I'm supposed to be calmed down. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. Anybody thinking, Lord, don't let me be ashamed. Lord, I done told people I'm going to get a job. Don't let me be ashamed. Lord, I done told people I'm getting ready to get me a husband. Don't let me be ashamed. Lord, I done told people I'm about to own my own home. Don't let me be ashamed. Lord, I done told people I'm going to play D1 basketball. Don't let me be ashamed. Lord, I done told people that you can make a way. Don't let me be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. I done told people that you were going to show up. Don't let me be ashamed. See, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage. Tell somebody, courage, courage, courage. We rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. Boldness, courage, that I will have sufficient courage, that I will have enough courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. That in the middle, Christ exalted in the midst. Christ exalted in spite of. Christ exalted in the middle of my situation. That's a miracle. Christ exalted in the middle of my diagnosis. Christ exalted in the middle of the statistic that goes against me. Christ exalted in the middle of the bad report. Christ exalted in the middle of my situation. That's a miracle. In my body, in my flesh, I will see God. You ought to expect a miracle. It doesn't mean you don't do your part, but you ought to expect a miracle. It doesn't mean you don't build the altar. You put the 12 stones. You build it on Mount Carmel. You dig the trench. You pour the water. But then when you get done with that, you go outside and say, now, Lord, I'm looking for fire to fall down and consume this offering. Lord, I'm looking for you to consume this sacrifice. Let your fire fall down. I expect a miracle. Am I by myself? I expect a miracle. It doesn't mean I don't go to school, but I expect a miracle. It doesn't mean I don't work on my credit, but I still expect a miracle. It doesn't mean that I'm not doing the work, but I still expect a miracle. It don't mean I don't go to the gym, but I still expect a miracle. I'm rebuking cancer and drinking water. I need a witness in the building. I'm rebuking cancer and I ain't smoking. Help us, Holy Ghost. I'm rebuking cancer and I'm cutting down on my sugar. Good God, that's mine. I expect a miracle. I do my work, but I'm looking for a miracle. You ought to expect a miracle. What types of miracles should you expect? What types of miracles should you expect? And I want to stop for just a second and ask that question. Well, what type of miracles should I expect? And I asked the Lord, and the Lord said, well, son, what were you taught in school? And one of the things I was taught in school is that there are seven signs in John. A part of what makes the book of John different than the other gospels is the other gospels are trying to give a chronological order of the life of Christ. Whereas John says, okay, Matthew, Mark, and Luke did that. Now my job is to prove to you that this Jesus guy is the Messiah. He said, my assignment is for you to see that this guy was not just some ordinary guy. This was not just some ordinary prophet. This dude was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you these seven miracles that prove to you that he wasn't just a miracle worker. He was the Christ. And so he gives these seven signs. And what I'm about to share with you is not mine. This is theological study. This is something that theologians and folks who have studied the Gospels said, yeah, what John was doing was John was laying out these miracles for you to know that Christ was the Messiah. And so let me give you the seven really quickly. And you can Google this later on and follow up. Let me give you the seven signs. Y'all ready? Real quick. I'm going to throw them on the screens. I'm running out of time. Anybody hearing a word from the Lord, though? Y'all hearing a word? All right. Let me give you the seven signs. The first sign is changing water into wine. They're all in John, okay? John chapter 2, changing water into wine. That's the first sign. The second sign, healing the royal official's son in Capernaum. That's in John chapter 4. That's the second sign. So the first one is changing water into wine. John is saying, I'm going to give you some signs for you to know that this was not just an ordinary guy. This is the Messiah. Number one, change water into wine. Number two, healing the royal official's son. Number three, healing the paralytic at Bethesda. That's the third sign. They're at the pool, and the guy says, I can't get in, for the waters are troubled, and people are getting in before me. John says, yeah, that's the third sign, that this guy was the Christ. This guy was the Messiah. Have I lost you? Y'all still with me? Class, you with me? You with me, okay? That's a John. This is John. This is theologians. This is theological study, seminary teaching, okay? Third sign that and I'm going to be actually teaching at Shaw this weekend, I think, and I'm just throwing that out there. But anyway, that doing a guest lecture. But anyway, what they teach you in a seminary like that is they teach you these seven things. So the third one is healing the paralytic. The fourth one is feeding the 5,000, John 6. Feeding the 5,000. John says, yeah, this is the fourth miracle that shows that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. The fifth sign is Jesus walking on the water. It's on the screens. If you miss them, you can just Google it. The seven signs that he's the Christ in the book of John, and it'll give it to you, okay? The fifth sign is him walking on the water. The sixth sign is healing the man blind from birth. In John 9, Jesus spits in the dirt, makes mud out of spit, puts it on a man's eyes. That's the sixth sign. And then the seventh sign is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Y'all got that? Those are the seven signs. All right. What I want to do is I want to take those seven signs and I want to use them as a type of miracle that you ought to expect. I'm going to give them to you, okay? The first type of miracle you ought to expect based on Jesus turning water into wine. The first miracle you ought to expect is water into spirit. It's salvation. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. The fact that you're in church is a miracle. Some of you, when people find out you're saved, they can't believe that the Lord done saved somebody. Like, they can't believe what happened is that God took something ordinary, like these words coming out of my mouth, and took something simple like water and made them intoxicating. That he took something, that which is born of the flesh, his flesh, lest a man be born of the water, lest a man be born of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so water into wine is a type of the simple becoming intoxicating. So that a simple word can change your whole perspective. A simple word can change the way your brain works. Just a word from the Lord can remove your doubt. That's the first type of miracle I expect. I expect salvation to happen. What's the second type of miracle? The second miracle is healing the royal official's son. That type for me is life in the next generation. Life in the next generation. If you know the miracle, you know that what happened is the royal official comes to Jesus and says, my son's about to die, and I need you to come and heal him. And Jesus says, your son is healed. Go home. And he goes home, and when he gets home, he finds out that his son was healed at the moment that Jesus spoke. I don't know about you, but I know I'm not the only person in here. I have some needs, but the first thing on my mind is, God, heal my baby. God, save my sons. God, break the fever off of the next generation. Lord, I could ask you for some stuff for myself, but you know what, God? I believe that just me being in your presence and just me getting next to you, I can say my son's name to you, and you can speak a word, and the next generation will be greater than this one. That's why I don't care what they say. That's why you see all these young people in here and all these millennials in here, because the devil is a liar. From generation to generation, God is God. And if you have the faith to believe, then God can save the next generation. It's the second type of miracle. What's the third type of miracle? Third type of miracle is the man that's healed, the paralytic that's healed at the pool. And I'm saying that the third type of miracle that I'm expecting, that's a sign that the Messiah is around us, is movement. Movement. I'm looking for a miracle where you'll be able to move. We've been speaking Canaan all year. I'm looking for a miracle that you will get out of the place where you are and move to the place where you're supposed to be. I'm believing. It says that he had 38 years of paralysis. I don't know if he was born paralyzed or if something happened to him and he got paralyzed. But I know that Jesus came and healed him, and somebody who had paralysis was able to move. You know what I love about the story? Is I love the fact that the guy got healed by Jesus and didn't know it was Jesus, which means it is possible for you to get your miracle even if you don't have all the knowledge. It is possible for you to get your miracle even if you don't have a degree from seminary. It's possible for you to get your healing and your miracle even if you don't have the Bible memorized. Number four, the fourth miracle, the fourth type of miracle that I'm expecting is provision. Feeding the 5,000. Little becoming much when God is in it. I speak that right now. Little becoming much when God is in it. God takes a few fish and a few loaves, and he works a miracle so that thousands are fed off of the sacrifice of the few. I'm believing that God can work a miracle of provision. I've been preaching it all day, that God can work a miracle of provision. It's the Elisha miracle. It's a little bit of oil filling jars. It's a little bit of loaves and a little bit of fish feeding 5,000 people. It's the miracle of church. It's the miracle of church. The miracle of church is that you come and you give your tithe and you give your offering and you share your lunch, and off of that lunch, thousands are fed. Off of that lunch you give, there are folk who are watching us all around the world, that thousands are fed by the word, by your lunch. By your ability to give and pray, thousands are impacted as a result of you being able to sacrifice your lunch. That it's a miracle of provision that we're experiencing in here. I'm believing God for a miracle of provision. I'm believing God that he'll take my little and turn it into a lot. Good God. I'm believing God that he'll take my little bit and turn it into much. Number five, the fifth miracle is walking on the water, the suspension of gravity, what I call flight.
Fifth kind of miracle I'm looking for is flight. Flight. Jesus is walking on the water. He ain't walking on water. He's walking on the air. He's walking on the air. He's flying, walking on water. See, I was on a plane the other day. I fly a lot. And I was on a plane the other day, and we were supposed to take off at 10:30, but whatever happened. By the time we got on the plane and about to take off, we didn't take off till almost 10:55, and we're in there, we're strapped in, and as we're about to take off, the pilot came over the loudspeaker and said, I know we were supposed to leave at 10:30, and it looks like that we're not pulling out the gate till 10:55, but I want you to know we can make that time up in the air. When he said we can make that time up in the air, it was everything I could do not to jump and start shouting right in the middle of the plane. They'd have kicked me off. But I thought, God, I can make up the time in the air. Just because there's baggage on the ground don't mean that I can't make up time in the air. Just because there's been a technical difficulty on the ground doesn't mean I can't make up the time in the air. If I can ever just get up in the air, God can restore to me what the worm took away in the air. I need a witness in the building. I can make up the time in the air. I can get there quicker in the air. That just because I've been done wrong doesn't mean that I need to let that wrong pull me down to the ground. Because I'm a living witness that God can make a way and God can get you to make up time in the air. I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. Before I came here, I was working for a guy named Carlton Pearson. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Bishop Carlton Pearson, Azusa. I'm his son in the ministry. I was working for him. When I went to work for him, I was supposed to be there with him for 5 years. Five years. When I got to Tulsa, I bought a house. My wife, my two daughters, my three boys were babies. I bought a house. Because I was supposed to be there for 5 years. Run the church, preach, run Azusa. That's what I was supposed to do. After 2 years of being there, he starts preaching this crazy doctrine. I don't know if you know anything about it. He starts preaching this crazy doctrine. People start leaving the church. People start moving. People start leaving. And folks start, and all of a sudden the budget drops. And they come to me and they're like, well, we're not going to be able to pay you anymore. And I said, even though I had a deal, even though he told me that I was going to be there for 5 years, I refuse to let my disappointment cause me to become a heathen and split his church. His leadership, actually, I don't tell this story. His leadership actually came to me and offered me the church. They wanted to take him to court, and they wanted to put me as the pastor over the church and kick him out. And I said, far be it for me to do such a thing. That man has been a father to me. Not only will I not do that, but I'm going to tell him that y'all offered me this church, because there's no way I'm going to do that. And there's no way, because God is watching, and God can take care of me. And I don't want God to be upset. And I don't want to touch the anointed. And I left with nothing. But in 5 years, I moved to North Carolina. And in 5 years, I had 5,000 people. Because you can make up flight in the air. If you can simply trust him. And I know there's somebody in here. Folk are dogging you. And folk are talking about you. And folk are putting you down. You got to understand, you can still make up flight, and you can make up time in the air. Tell somebody, make up time in the air, make up time in the air. You can make up that time in the air. Don't let the hater pull you to the ground. Just because there's been baggage and you may have been delayed does not mean that God can't turn your situation around. In a minute, I need a witness in a building. In a minute, God can turn it around. In 5 years, I had one of the fastest, largest growing churches in America simply because I refused to allow the devil to make me go against a principle. Number six, sit down. I'm sorry, I'm almost done. Y'all are hearing a word from the Lord. I gotta calm down, but I'm preaching to myself today. Number six, what's the sixth type of miracle? The sixth type of miracle is healing the man born blind. The sixth type of miracle is revelation. revelation. That's why I'm excited, but I keep trying to calm myself down. Because in all of your getting, I want you to get an understanding. I need a witness in the building. You forgive me. I'm not always like this, but the Lord is speaking to me. I believe something's about to happen in my life. So I'm real excited in here, because mostly I don't really like to do this too much, because if I get to hooping too much, you won't be able to understand what I'm saying. I mean, it's not that I can't do it. That car can make a way. It's not that I can't do it. It's just that I can say anything when I'm doing that. Humpty Dumpty, sat on a wall. I can say anything. You don't understand when to preach. And I'm not knocking it, because there are some people that do it amazing. But me, you won't be able to understand. And in all of your getting, I want you to get an understanding. I'm putting it on the screens and trying to. And all of your getting, I want you to get an understanding. It's what I love about Bishop, is that she just breaks it down, so that you leave with something in your head and not just in your heart. What was preacher talking about today? I don't know, but he was saying that you are be able to get some kind of revelation from this thing. Jesus heals the man born blind. I've been preaching from this passage since I was 15 years old, because the miracle is amazing to me. Jesus spits in the dirt, makes mud out of spit, puts it on a man's eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool. When I was 15 and I preached from this passage, I said, I'm sorry, Lord, but that's nasty. You're Jesus. You could have blew in his face and healed him. You could have smacked him in the forehead and healed him. You could have said, oobie doobie scooby, and healed him. But for you to hawk and spit and make dirt out of the spit, it reminded me of back in the day when my mama would lick her finger and clean all around your eye. This is before baby wipes. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And you got to walk to the bus stop smelling her oatmeal breath on your face, because she cleaned your face with spit. And I know you're sitting there saying, yeah, but that's Jesus' anointed spit. His anointed spit, but it's still spit. I said, Jesus, I'm sorry, that's nasty. Why you got to spit in the dirt and put it on somebody's face? And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's because for some people to see, it takes dirt and spit. For some people to see, something bad got to happen. For some people to see, somebody got to go to jail. For some people to see, somebody got to be in a casket and be dead. For some of y'all to see, your period had to be late. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. For some of y'all to see, some girl missed her period and you walking around saying, let the blood flow, Jesus, let the blood flow. For you to see, you said, Lord, I promise I will never mess with that skeezer again. For you to see, something bad had to happen. I need a witness in the building. I need a witness in the building. For you to see, you had to say, Lord, I will never let my boyfriend come over here again. Just please. For you to see, something bad had to happen. The Lord said, some people don't see unless I spit in their face. Some people won't see unless I put mud on their eyes. Some people won't see until something bad happens to them. It's a miracle of sight. It's a miracle of revelation. And then finally, number 7, and I'm done. Type of miracle I'm expecting is resurrection. Lazarus. But if you really know the story, you know. How many of y'all know the Lazarus story? If you really know it, you know that Lazarus is sick, and they send a message to Jesus. And they say, listen, the one you love is sick. Stop healing all them strangers and come heal the one you eat with and spend time with, the one that's faithful, the one who's been here. Stop doing miracles for people that don't deserve it and get over here with somebody who you grew up with. This is Lazarus. This is your boy. He's sick. He's about to die. And the word says that Jesus Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but he stayed where he was for days and let that dude die. And then later he says, come on, let's go down to Lazarus because he done died, but I think I'm going to wake him up. And doubting Thomas spoke up and said, yeah, let's go down there and get sick and die too. And when he got there, Mary was like, oh my God, Lord, where were you? Didn't you get my text? Didn't you get my email? If you had simply got here on time, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, yeah, but I am the resurrection and the life. And even if somebody's dead, yet shall they live. Because I let your brother die because I wanted somebody in North Carolina to know that it's never too late for God. I wanted somebody in World Overcomers Family Reunion to know that even if your career looks like it's dead, yes, shall it live. Even if your marriage looks like it's dead, yes, shall it live. Even if your opportunity looks like it's dead, yet shall it live. I speak resurrection over this room. 3 days dead, and God can raise it from the dead. I'm believing that your money will come hopping out of a tomb and you'll go to another level. I'm believing that your credit will come hopping out of a tomb and you'll go to another level. I'm believing that your husband will come hopping out of a tomb and you thought it was over, but it ain't over till God says it's over. I said it ain't over till God says it's over. Death can't stop him. I speak that right now. Death can't stop him. Mary had to catch herself. She said, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot who I was talking to. I forgot that you are the Alpha and the Omega. I forgot. I know even now that God will give you whatever you ask for. Don't want to put a limit on God and tell God it's too late. It's not too late. I speak it. It's not too late. For everybody that's over 20, it ain't too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Not with the Lord. Not with the Lord. These are the kind of miracles that we ought to be expecting. And I don't know about you, but I expect a miracle every day. God can make a way out of no way. Just believe it and receive it. God will perform it today. If you're a believer, clap your hands and open up your mouth and make some noise in this room. That was nice, but I said if you're a believer, clap your hands and open up your mouth. And somebody give God praise in this room. That's a nice practice. I said if you're a believer, open up your mouth and give God praise. Jump on your feet. Jump on your feet. Anybody hear a word from the Lord? I asked the question. Anybody hear a word from the Lord? Now listen, family. I see people moving already, but we're going to eat now. About to have this cookout. You done got a spiritual meal. And you're looking for a miracle. Anybody looking for a miracle? You're looking for a miracle. This week, I want you to look for a miracle. I want you to believe again for a miracle. I want you to believe that you can own. Make them tell you no. Make them tell you no. Don't be afraid to hear the word no. They say no, be like, okay, then what do I got to do? Well, you need to do this, need to do that? Thank you. I'll see you in 3 months. I'll be right back here because I'm going to own my own thing. I'm going to own my own house. I'm going to own my own land. Don't let your feelings get hurt by a no. That's all right. I'm going to keep working. I'll be back. And I'm believing that the God I serve can make a miracle happen in my behalf. I'm looking for a miracle. I expect God to set something on fire. I expect people to be blown away and a little bit salty. Oh, hallelujah. I want people just a little bit mad. I wish I had a witness in it. I want people just a little bit angry, just a little bit bothered. I used to be bothered by that, but now it's sweet. It's sweet. Sweet. How you get a church like that? I know. Don't you say, how you like, how, taste that. It's wonderful. Don't be so quick to dismiss all your haters. The Lord is trying to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I need a witness in the building. Look for a miracle. Grab somebody's hand. I'm speaking miracles over the room. Lord, we speak life. In the name of Jesus, there is healing flowing in this place. Thank you, Lord God, for living so big in us. Thank you for these moments where we blessed you. Thank you for every visitor that was with us today. Good God, so many visitors with us. God, we thank you for them. Thank you for folk that came for family. God, we pray that you would save us right where we stand and heal us right where we stand and deliver us right where we stand and anointing rest on us. Lord, bless the food and the fellowship, this cookout thing we about to have. And Lord, may your glory be revealed in us. And God, we ask you now to stretch forth your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We rebuke sickness and tumors and growth and high blood pressure and diabetes and every attack of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. Thank you, God, for miracles of provision. Lord, thank you for miracles of relationship. God, thank you that you can make a way for us. We pray it every week. We're determined to overcome the world. Let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. You are still mighty and strong. Fight this battle for me. Help my unbelief. Use us for your glory. We ask you to dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood as we leave, as we go home. Thank you, Lord, for every visitor that was with us. Thank you for the group that came here from Koinonia. Thank you, Lord God, the fact that we can come in fellowship together. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We are the people of God. Thank you for the prayers that have been prayed by the elders. Thank you for the anointing in the room. Thank you for this group today in the room and watching around the world. Now, God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. So shed your love on us. Bless your people as we speak it every Sunday. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Favor on your people. Everybody under the sound of my voice, favor on us. We're asking for favor in the time of favor. Give us peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Bring us back on Wednesday. Bring us back next Sunday, God, as we talk about faith in you. And we'll give you praise for what you do, what you say. You're so worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed.